Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael back with Preservative Talk Radio. Now that we've got through all that troubling news, that snow coming in from the west, hang in there. A lot of us thought it was going to be here earlier. And we'll see whether they were right with regard to the predictions, whether it's going to be something that's just an irritation or is somebody going to be able to play in it. That's always a hope. Today on Preservative Talk Radio, again, you can give us a call at 833-469-6397, 469-6397. The catchy phrase is 833-4MY-NEWS. If you've got a question or comment, that we can address it today. This is the day after the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday celebration. And this morning I read his letter from the Birmingham jail. I'm actually going to quote one part of it today as I go through this broadcast. But I'm going to be reading from something that was read to those who were trying to figure out whether they were going to declare independence from England way back when. It's a letter from Samuel West on the right to rebel. So there's some interesting quotes here that are kind of the thing that what is the country based upon. And the context today is going to be you. What do you do? What is your situation? I sent out a little Facebook notice to people saying, hey, reminder, Preservative Talk Radio coming, you know, in a few minutes. And I asked a question. Is whether a civil disobedience is a oxymoron. Can you be civil and be disobedient? So think about this. I think many of us have been in a situation where there was some ordinance that just really irritated us or it didn't make sense. And it reminds me of a Groucho Marx song. I probably won't play it. But whatever it is, I'm against it. You know, if you got an attitude that wants to cooperate, but there's some times when something is just, you know, sticking your craw there, you know, so you're just, how do you deal with that? Is there a way to do it? And again, as we were doing that survey a few days ago, a lot of y'all been to church. Let me tell you what, a lot of the crowd in the entire state of Tennessee, the very, and of course our listeners in Alabama and Georgia, of course, there's such much of our population that have been to church and they've been taught Romans chapter 13. I'm actually going to quote from the Bible, two different versions of the Bible today, New King James and King James. I'm going to talk about King James. I'm going to talk about New King James. And I'm going to quote this one very critical scripture that makes everybody hesitate, and I think rightfully so, before they step out and do what might be called civil disobedience. But by what authority do you exercise civil disobedience? And is there some limitation? Should you limit yourself? Or should you be doing it at all? It's going to be educational, but I want it to be thought-provoking. And I might be able to stop myself from telling you a story, and I might not. Because I do some things that some would consider civil disobedience. And what I would say is I challenge those who are themselves in a magistrate's position, in a position of authority or a position of power, or a position to be a public servant, and they're disregarding the law. That's sort of like a bully. I grew up in East Los Angeles. I'm going to tell you a little story here. And one thing that I hated was bullies. And not hated, just it really made me angry. So when I see an underdog being attacked by somebody, man, I'm fed up. I get riled up. So now as I've matured, I'm trying to find ways to make sure that I put all that in the proper box to be most effective under the situation. But there are times that I've intervened when somebody was getting beat up physically. You know, I made sure that I stood between the victim and the attacker. I've done that on a couple of occasions. It's a knee-jerk response. If you see an injustice, what do you do? Do you fear? Do you cower? Or do you say, wait a minute, we got to write this thing? Let's read from Samuel West. We're going to turn to page 120 in what I call this Patriot's Handbook by George Grant, Ph.D. And I'm going to read from Samuel West real quick. He says, the slightest view of the present state and condition of the human race is abundantly sufficient to convince any person of common sense and common honesty that civil government is absolutely necessary for the peace and safety of mankind. Civil government is absolutely necessary for the peace and safety of mankind, and consequently, that all good magistrates, also there's is qualified, a good magistrate, while they faithfully discharge the trust reposed in them, ought to be religiously and conscientiously obeyed. So that is really when we've got somebody who's fulfilling the duties and the role of government that we as a society have instituted, we should be religiously and conscientiously obeying them. You're downtown and all of a sudden you're at 10 o'clock at night and there's a crosswalk. What do you do? What's the intent? The intent is to keep people from getting run over, and the intent is to keep people from knocking people over with their cars. I'll do stuff. I'll be downtown and there'll be a crosswalk and my family's like, come on, let's go. You can see in every direction there's no car coming. I'll actually stand there. Because if I am somebody who might be appeared to be, oh, he's a civil disobedience guy, I'm telling you what, if there's an ordinance that I can obey that doesn't make me violate religion, I'm going to do it as much as possible. And there's a point where you are standing there and you realize the purpose or the light's broken. Guess what? The light's broke, buddy. You're just going to have to look both ways and cross because we know what the intent of the law is. Let's make sure we uphold it. But if there is an ordinance that I can obey, I'll do it because there are times when, because of, it says in the Bible, with much knowledge comes much sorrow. The more you know, you're more accountable. That's the way it is. You hold yourself to a higher standard because you know what the standard is. And because I had to study and learn what's right and wrong, you got to learn it for radio. You got to learn it to teach Bible study. You got to learn it to raise your children. Then all of a sudden I get this angst in me, this unction. To when I see a wrong, to make it right. That's my problem. Thank you for letting me share that with you. So I'm going to go into another state. We know that we should be religiously and conscientiously obeying the government. Here's another phrase from Samuel West's letter to these rebellious people back in the 1700s. In order, therefore, that we may form a right judgment of the duty enjoined in our text, I shall consider the nature and design of civil government and show that the same principles which oblige us to submit to government do equally oblige us to resist tyranny. Now, can Samuel West really substantiate that? Is it true? The same principle which obliges us to submit to government, is it true that that same principle obliges us to resist tyranny? So I'm going to leave that on your head. Does it oblige us to resist tyranny? If it's true, that means those of us, when we see a wrong and don't resist it, if what they're saying is true, our non-resistance is a wrong. If a man knows a good he ought to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. That's James 4:17. That's a pretty high standard. Another comment here. This is on page 123 of this Patriot's Handbook, it's called. And this letter from Samuel West to those who are going to contemplate independence. He says the plainly shows that the highest state of liberty subjects us to the law of nature and government of God. Hence, we conclude that where licentiousness begins, liberty ends. So here's his first thought is if we see a wrong, do we have an obligation to fix it? Or do we just say, well, it's a person in power, so I must submit. Let's say, on the other hand, we have a duty to resist it. And we know that religiously and conscientiously. And we resist the person in power, I say, because they violated the authority. If we do, we don't want to come to a place where licentiousness begins. Because where licentiousness begins, that means taking license to do whatever you want to do for the sake of your gratification, notwithstanding the law of God, the law of loving your neighbor as yourself. That's licentiousness. And where licentiousness ends or begins, liberty ends. I agree with that. I'm going to go to another phrase. Again, the number here is 833-469-6397. That's 833-4MY-NEWS. Give you another little quote here. This is on page 124 of my handy-dandy book. The end and design of civil government cannot be to deprive men of their liberty. Is this a true statement? The end and design of civil government cannot be to deprive men of their liberty or take away their freedom. But on the contrary, the true design of civil government is to protect men in the enjoyment of liberty. if you read some of the things the founders were reading, one of the people they were reading was John Locke. He had written his text on his treatises of government was in 1689. It finally came out because William and Mary had come into power and he was not afraid to die. He never really put his name on it, but he did a treatise on government. And he pointed out that it is for the sake of, and kind of phrase of his was kind of borrowed for the Declaration of Independence, where he said it's for life, liberty, and property. Life, liberty, and property. In fact, he considered all those things property rights. But life, liberty, and property is why we institute government, to protect you and me from one another in our life, liberty, and property. That is really the end of government. It is not to take your property and give it to somebody else because of equity, a spontaneous equity by somebody with a sword who decides that maybe they'd like to, as far as the scales that they see in their eyes of who ought to have what, that they use their power, their sword, to take your property and give it to another. It's actually protect your life, your liberty, your property. That is ultimately what those who founded the country, that's what they were thinking. Bless their hearts. So I got another phrase here. Let's see what this says. Now, this goes to liberty and license. Are you somebody, you know, you could have righteous indignation when you see a wrong, you want to take it on, right? But you've got to be careful with this. Make sure you don't go too far. A factious, seditious person that opposes good government is a monster in nature, for he is an enemy to his own species and destitute of the sentiments of humanity. That's a nice statement. That's not really where I was going. Here we go. Subjects are also bound to obey magistrates for conscience sake, out of regard to the divine authority and out of obedience to the will of God. Now, is this true? He says it calls it subjects. Now, again, this is if you consider yourself a subject. Let's say people. People are also bound to obey magistrates for conscience sake, out of regard to the divine authority and out of obedience to the will of God. Unless you're a communist, anti-Christian, kind of like don't believe in a supreme being, like a Marxist, then guess what? You don't have to submit to anything, do you? Okay, so is it true that we people are bound to obey magistrates for conscience sake, out of regard to the divine authority and out of obedience to the will of God? For if magistrates are ministers of God, we cannot disobey them without being disobedient to the law of God. So this is on the subject of whether or not civil disobedience is something that you ought to do. And again, I'm presuming that everybody listening, you know, the million or people so that are being irradiated with this broadcast, you've been in a situation where you comply, it makes sense, it's good for everybody, and all of a sudden something pops up that is just wrong, or you see wronging somebody, or is violating your conscience. Now, I think most likely all of us for sure have felt those things, like we're about to sign a form, we're about to do some kind of government thing, and it's just something's just not right, but we do it anyway. And I think out of good conscience, I think we do it religiously because of Romans chapter 13. And I'm not going to quote it now, but I'll quote it in a few minutes from now, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Because we have this, I think, an innate sense, an innate duty to submit to the government because we know it's good for us, that its design is actually to benefit every one of us if we all play by the game rules, right? We decide ahead of time whether we're going to take money out of free parking or not. If you Monopoly fans, we decide together what the rules of the game are, and everybody has a really good time when they all obey the rules. And sometimes you take a fun game and destroy it when somebody in the crowd doesn't want to play by the rules. And we understand that innately. But what happens when there's something that is going on, and because of our education, our conscience, whatever it is, our religion, whatever it is, religion, and I mean that in the duty that we owe the Creator, that we personally owe the Creator. So there's something there that's just rubbing you the wrong way. Is there a right about doing what to some would think is wrong? Is there a possibility that you could do such a thing? I'm going to give you a little history without reading from a book. when I was reading, studying law of the laws of England as they related to those that were here in the colonies in 1776, and they eventually in the Bill of Rights of some of the states and in the Bill of Rights of the United States, it talked about these rights that are reserved, the Ninth Amendment. I thought, okay, what are those rights that are reserved? And so where do I find that? And what I ended up doing, I found out that a good resource would go to the commentaries of Sir William Blackstone that were written 1766, or were published 1766, where he took a history of law as they knew it in England and in the American plantations, as he called it. And so examine it thoroughly and to say, what are the laws and what is the basis of it? And that's where I learned that there are rights and wrongs, and there are absolute rights that were in the created order. There are what he called rights that are revealed by the Holy Scripture, rights and wrongs revealed by the Holy Scripture or deducible from it. In other words, you can connect the dots by reading the Scriptures and figure out what's right and wrong. But then he also pointed out that there's things that do have no moral wrong to them. And this will freak out the average person who's been in church. But the history of the law of this land is there are, let's say, options. Now, I would say that, I'll give you an example, reckless driving, where you're driving your car as if you're shooting a gun into a crowd. That's reckless. It's a crime. You're actually attacking people. It's like swinging and missing. If you're going to swing a punch in somebody's face and miss, it's still an assault. So reckless driving could be appropriately determined by a jury and people with reasonable minds to be an absolute wrong. Now, going 66 in a 65 mile an hour zone under the history of the law of our land isn't necessarily a wrong. There's a penalty there. There's a tax you can pay. You're going to want to go 66 in a 65 mile an hour zone. You're going to pay the $50 court costs. You're going to pay a $65 fine. You're going to pay the tax, but you opted into it for your convenience. So long as it didn't get to the point where you were being dangerous, you pay the tax. And some would say, oh, your conscience is bothering you. You know, you cannot do that. You got to submit to Romans chapter 13, etc. Well, actually, if you know the laws, the history of the law in America, that is actually part of that was contemplated in the founding and the forming and the practice of law for these many hundreds of years. It's just something to think about. Now you say, oh, David's a heretic. Just stop it. It's just there are some things that you can do that aren't necessarily wrongs. Now, what Samuel West would advise and I'd advise is you conform to the game rules. And the reason why you conform to the game rules, and by what authority does society come up with rules? There's a command of God that's revealed in the Bible, and it is to love God with all your heart and soul and mind and all your strength. And the second one is like unto it, is to love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. So sometimes you're going to go a certain speed because you love your neighbor as yourself. You're going to keep the traffic flowing. You're not going to scare anybody. You're going to make sure that you get your passengers where they need to go instead of lollygagging 10 miles below the speed limit or making people have to change their behavior because you're 10 miles below the speed limit. You do it because you love God, you love your neighbor as yourself, and you're going to play by the rules because the rules are built so that we can play well as a team and enjoy every minute of it. I'm going to give you my number again. I'm David Allen Carmichael. This is Preservative Talk Radio. I call it Preservative Talk Radio. That's my mode of doing radio, but I'm broadcasting on Nuga Radio. So we're reaching out to Tennessee, southeastern Tennessee, northwestern Georgia, northeastern Alabama, and all of our neighbors, and we're going to talk about these issues. And I always do it on a constitutional basis, biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong, and I give you a toll-free number so you can hold me accountable. If you think I'm wrong, you want to reprove me, you let me know. You give me a call at 833-4MY-NEWS. That's 833-4MY-NEWS, 833-469-6397. Love to hear from you if you give me a call. Also, you can send me an email. If there's something that you think I said wrong and I need to be corrected and you want to do it lovingly and silently, send an email to david@preservativetalkradio.com. That's david@preservativetalkradio.com. The other thing you can do is prompt a subject matter. What is it you want to talk about? Tell me a situation going on. We can address it here. If you'd like to be on the radio for an interview, let us know. So we're going to come back, listen to what's going on with these advertisements, and stimulate the economy of our friends. We are back with Preservative Talk Radio on Nougat Radio. As I was going on, hey, bringing you back to this idea of considering what is your role, what is your responsibility, what is your liberty when you see something that's a wrong that is backed by government power. What should you do? What can you do? But before you figure out what can you do, what ought you to do? I think that's the thing we have to think about is what is our moral obligation? What is our duty of religion? How's that? That's the duty we owe the Creator. What should we do and why should we do it? And that's what I'm going to address here today. As I was going away, I read there's a couple of more things I want to read from this letter from Samuel West that he wrote to those who were going to be considering independence back in 1776. And he's got this little statement here. Let me just go ahead and read it. It says, okay, while the magistrates are acting in the character of a magistrate, it is the indispensable duty of us to submit to them and to oppose, listen to this, a turbulent, factious, and libertine spirit. So even when we contemplate all these rights and wrongs of what we ought to do, what we shouldn't do, what is the boundaries, yes, it's civil law, it's not really a wrong, it's just sort of a civil inconvenience that you could pay a fine for, whatever. Rather than to think about that, what we've got to be careful is, no matter what we're doing, that it's responsible, because we don't want to be doing anything out of a libertine spirit. That means basically the word of a factious. You're being a faction. You're being a nut. You're being somebody who's creating turbulence for turbulence sake. We need to exercise some serious self-control, get a little fruit of the spirit there. And I think as we are dealing with these questions, we're going to be really benefiting our neighbors. A factious, seditious person that opposes good government is a monster in nature, and he is an enemy to his own species and destitute of the sentiments of humanity. And again, subjects are also bound to obey magistrates for conscience sake, out of regard to divine authority, and out of obedience to the will of God. For if magistrates are the ministers of God, we cannot disobey them without being disobedient to the law of God. So there is something to keep in mind. I got one more thing I want to say here from Samuel West's story. And then I'm going to quote something from Martin Luther King that he wrote while he was in jail. And he was getting chastised by pastors saying, what are you doing? You're being factious? What are you doing? You're a troublemaker? And he wrote some profound statements that I want to, it's actually a model. If you're ever going to stand, if there comes a point where you've got to stand for the absolute right, in spite of what you see as being, let's say, supported by the power of the sword, there's a way to approach it, and I think he captured it. So I'm going to go to quote from him today. Zeal. Here's on the subject of zeal. And I really love this statement by Samuel West, because I was reading this. This statement here captured what I've been doing here for the last 20 years. As our duty of obedience to the magistrate is founded upon our obligation to promote the general good, our readiness to obey lawful authority will always arise in proportion to the love and regard we have for the welfare of the public. So my passion for obeying the magistrate, for obeying the law, for upholding the Constitution, my zeal for that, my love for that, my passion for it is in proportion to the love and regard that I have for the welfare of my neighbor. That's reality. I'm going to go on reading Samuel West here. And the same love and regard for the public will inspire us with as strong a zeal to hear this passion here, with just as strong a zeal to oppose tyranny as we have to obey the magistracy. I, more than most people, actually have a great desire to obey the magistracy. It's true. And I think the more I love God and I love my neighbor as myself, again, this proportionally increases. Because of it, I have the same, let's say, chutzpah to be like David in front of Goliath, who said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who would mock the armies of the living God? Is there not a cause? why are y'all just standing there? Isn't somebody going to do something? You want me, a little guy, to take this guy down? That's shameful. So that's kind of the, let's say, that may be a way to describe some of my passion. So Samuel West goes on to say, our obligation to promote the public good extends as much to opposing every exertion of arbitrary power that is injurious to the state as it does to the submitting to good and wholesome laws. One more time with feeling. Just sit back and bask in this. That means you, me, us, we. Our obligation to promote the public good extends as much to opposing every exertion of arbitrary power that is injurious to the state as it does to the submitting to good and wholesome laws. If you're a clerk and some legislature has said man, because of the Constitution, the people's will, saying man and woman is the only way we're going to have marriage and be like a biological man, not a make-believe or virtual man, but a real man and a real woman, is the only thing that defines marriage in the state, and you're a clerk who is asked to do something else, you have to have the passion to stand and say, sorry, no authority. Constitution says this, legislature said that. I don't care what 5 out of 9 people say in a different zone. I have the duty to submit to the authority structure that I'm under. That sounds extreme, but that is what I'd like to be able to point out, is there's an authority structure. And before I go to, and there's one other statement I'm going to make here, then I'm going to go to Martin Luther King, but I'm actually going to go to the Bible before I do that. Here's a statement that unlimited submission and obedience is due to none but God alone, said Samuel West as he was writing those who voted to declare independence. He said, unlimited submission and obedience is due to none but God alone. Now, he said that after admonishing over and over and over and over to submit to the magistrate, to submit to the rules of the game. And I'm all for it. I am in on submitting to the rules of the game. Now, I was going to go to the Bible. And so most of you have actually heard this, and you may have heard it in 2 different versions. I'm going to read from the King James Version, Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whoever resisteth, therefore resisteth the power, the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is minister of God for thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to go to that same thing. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to go to Romans 13, chapter 13, verse 1, but I'm going to do it in the New King James Version. And the reason I'm going to do it is, before I go there, is this word, higher powers. It's important that it said higher powers. The only problem is often that we see power as something like the person behind the counter, the clerk of court, the judge, the governor, the person at the Department of Motor Vehicles, whatever it is, that's somebody behind the counter as being a power. They have some power. They can tell you no when you apply for something, or they can order you to be put in jail. They have power. But the word here, power, a lot of times many of us go to church and somebody tells us the word power, it's dunamis, it's like we get the word dynamite. The word here actually in the Greek is exousia. So be subject to the higher exousia. The word exousia is actually authority. So there's a difference between power and authority. If you want to figure out what tyranny is the exercise of power without authority. That's tyranny. So those of you who delve into the legal processes and things like that, you know about quo warranto, writs of quo warranto. You ask somebody, by what authority are you exercising this power? If you don't have the authority to exercise the power, you need to be in jail. And it's not just somebody like one judge holding another judge accountable. That's actually our responsibility, because each of these people work for us. They actually represent us. They're actually doing our job. They're our servants, carrying out our ministry to our neighbors And if they're exercising a power without the authority that we've got from God and that we've bestowed upon them, then they're tyrants. And we, as the boss, are responsible to hold them accountable. Let's listen to this in New King James Version. And in this version here, I can go to tools and actually shows me the words in Greek so I could verify a good translation of the word. It says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. Isn't that something? So that means whoever resists the Constitution of Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, United States, if anybody resists the authority of those constitutions, according to the scripture, they're resisting the ordinance of Almighty God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Because ultimately, watch this, it says, rulers are not a terror to good works, but evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister for good, but if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. He is God's minister, avenger, to execute wrath on him who practices evil. The next verse, which I didn't read on the first round, therefore you must be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. So this is important stuff. So in anything we do, you and I, we all have this obligation in our situation to see what's happening. I'll give you an example. Homeschooling my kids. And in every little sector, everybody's got their own school board. They got their superintendent schools. The area that we are living, the superintendent of schools came out with this thing. If you want to have a religious exemption, exemption from schooling because you're schooling out of obedience, out of a duty of religion, you know, you're obeying God, schooling your children, then you must fill out this form. Well, it's not true. If you're obeying God, you've risen above the civil requirement. If there's some civil requirement that would interfere with your obeying God, guess what? It's exercising a power outside of its authority. So in this form, it said, if your child is 10 years old or older, they must explain and why they are homeschooling for reasons of religion, why they are opposed to public school on the basis of religion. So they're demanding every 10-year-old be able to articulate the parent's religion. So what I did, I said, no. And actually, I didn't even know about it. I didn't even know about this little requirement. But somebody in our association was being told that their autistic 10-year-old was supposed to be filling out this form or else they could not be granted this exemption. I got ticked off. I had passion because I saw that somebody was usurping authority. Somebody was exercising a power to the hurt of somebody who's very vulnerable. And they were doing it against the authority of God. They were doing it contrary to God's will to be a minister of God for our good. So I got upset. But I wrote a letter and I went to the school board and I said outright, I pointed out that they have no authority. And I was actually asking, by what authority do you do the following thing? And I said, and I'm here to give you notice that my child has no right to have their own religion, notwithstanding the UN Agenda 21. While they're in my house and under my authority and until they are emancipated, I don't give a hoot what they think about my directives that are based on religion. And school board, you're just going to have to get over it. That's just the way it is. And I said it in so many nice terms. Of course, they were nice terms. And so I did a cease and desist right there in public, in a public meeting. I issued a cease and desist to the superintendent of schools because this little ordinance here, this little form that they were demanding, and at the time my child was still under 18 and technically under the auspices of this little rule, is I declared to them and told them that they were not going to interfere with my life and that they were not going to get anything from my child and that they were exercising their power of authority. And I told them to cease and desist from this interest that they had in demanding this from me or anybody else. I've heard that they have since continued to demand it from other people. But they pretty much backed off on me, of course, but and also this lady that it specifically affected her child. She had the confidence to not submit to it. Now that sounds pretty crazy, but who, you know what? That's what we're supposed to be doing. And I think in particular, we as men should be doing that, even though it's hard work. It takes a little reading, you know, or find somebody who's got the bent toward that, and coordinate with friends, your neighbors that have that particular gift, and identify these things that exercise a power beyond their authority, and call it down. Call it down in public. Claim your submission to Almighty God, that your identification with His Son, Jesus Christ, claim it in your person, in your identity, and stand, because these things that resist you and resist your liberty are resisting Almighty God, and it's satanic. It is literally a sublime influence on these people, and they don't even realize it. So you got to stand. You call it down. Now, that's my opinion. If you have a differing opinion or anything like that, my number here is 833-469-6397. Now I'm going to, as I said, go to Martin Luther King, now that I've vented my passion all at you. Martin Luther King is addressing these pastors saying, well, I'm in jail. How come you guys aren't in here with me? Why are you dogging me out for being resistant? So let me see what he responds here, and I want you to listen to what he said. There are some instances when a law is just on its face and unjust in its application. For instance, I was arrested Friday on a charge of parading without a permit. Now, there's nothing wrong with an ordinance which requires a permit for a parade. But when the ordinance is used to preserve segregation and to deny citizens a First Amendment privilege of peaceful assembly and peaceful protest, then it becomes unjust. Well, what he meant here was, and I wish he had said it this way, is when they deny the parade permit because we're black, okay? If you refuse to us the ordinary redress that's promised in the Constitution of the United States, and in this case it was an Alabama issue, I hope you can see the distinction I'm trying to point out. No sense do I advocate evading or defying the law as the rabid segregationists would do. This would lead to anarchy. One who breaks an unjust law. Now, this is where I want you to go. I want you to think about this. This is a very difficult point. If you're going to come to the point where you're going to have to stand against something that's on its face has a color of law, but it's really defying the authority, you've got to be very careful how you approach this. One who breaks an unjust law must do it openly, lovingly, and a willingness to accept the penalty. I submit that an individual who breaks a law that conscience tells him is unjust and willingly accepts a penalty by staying in jail to arouse the consciousness of the community over its injustice is in reality expressing the very highest respect for law. And then he goes on and cites something that one of my favorite stories, and this is real history here. Of course, there's nothing new about this kind of civil disobedience. It was seen sublimely in the refusal of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in their refusal to obey the laws of Nebuchadnezzar because a higher moral law was involved, the commandment to have no other gods before me. They did, as they said, we will not bow down. There were Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael were their given names. That's in Daniel chapter 3. When you look in Daniel chapter 1, it's got a story of Daniel and his friends having certain dietary restrictions because of religion, their duty to the Creator. And they said, well, you've got to eat this stuff or you're going to die, all right? Our compelling interest is that you look really good so that the king is proud of you and not embarrassed. And they said, well, test us in this and give us a time and you check us out. If we obey God and if we don't look, you know, if we're not healthy as you want us to be, then you do what you've got to do. Our Religious Freedom Restoration Act statutes are actually patterned after Daniel chapter 1. So there's a history in the scripture and example after example of those who stood not just to rebel because they didn't like what was being thrown at them, because they saw the injustice, meaning it is contrary to God. It is unjust. God is just. God is righteous. And if it goes contrary to his righteousness, his justice, then it is evil. And we, when we see it, then are held accountable to our conscience before him. And of course, we hope that what you're going to be doing is being stirred in your passions because you love the ordinances of men when they're consistent with the ordinances of God. And you love to love your neighbor as yourself. And you love the fact that the city councils and all the various people who are trying to legislate the little rules of the game are all with that interest of having us love one another. So that's what the goal is, isn't it? That's ultimately the goal. So I'm David Allen Carmichael, And I did this. I'm doing this preservative talk radio, and I was invited here to Nuga Radio for this reason, that you're getting the theme of what I do. My goal is to just talk about the crazy issues of the day, but in such a way that we're all going to be equipped and edified, built up, so that we can do well for ourselves, our family, and our neighbors. So stay tuned. Come back tomorrow. We're going to give you more of this preservative talk radio.